Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches alongside of you guys, and I am joined by two of the greatest guys that I have ever met in my entire life. And I mean that this time. Usually I'm just saying it to get good ratings. I'm joined alongside of my good friend, Reverend Dr. Apostle Prophet, Man of God, all of the good titles that you can think of. Colby Sharp, sir. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. My life is dope and I do dope things.
That's right.
You caught us off guard because you were looking at Joey while you said those things. And I was like, man, that sounds good.
I also am joined by the chief of all, not sinners, but the chief of all the people in this room, at
that
least.
That might be more appropriate. But
yeah. Joey, how you doing, brother?
I am tired and sore, but blessed.
There we go. Tired. See, we've got some faithful, long-time listeners that are falling out of their chairs when you didn't come out of the gate with "I'm blessed" first.
Right.
So there we go. He's tired and sore. Joey, tell everybody why you're tired and sore.
Because I dug a 18-foot ditch this morning to try to get a drain ditch to try to get some water from behind a garage.
Now, just in case you guys are wondering what the life of Pastor Joey is, he's always digging an 18-foot ditch for somebody, somewhere, somehow. This guy is the greatest pastor and servant-hearted person I've ever met in my life, and now he's out working again before he comes to hang out with us.
I went to Dunkin'. I did. I really
did. Dope and do dope things.
I'm dope and I do dope things.
I'm an idiot and dig ditches. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had a staff meeting this morning, and so I don't know if that's in the middle. I don't know where that's at. But. So, man, guys, welcome in today. We're continuing this series. We've been kind of dabbling in this concept of talking about depression and pastors and small church leaders with mental health. And, Colby, man, you shared a little bit of your story last time, so thank you for sharing that with us. Man, today we are talking about this big idea that it's you're not weak if you go to get help. And I think a lot of times we really struggle with that, with coming to the reality to accept that, man, we actually need help. And so just straight out of the gate, guys, whenever you think about the idea of it's okay, you're not weak to go and get help, what comes to your mind when you think about that?
I'm glad to hear that this morning because I am blessed, but I'm struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, I'm aggravated a couple of things, and our life situation has changed a little bit. We moved in with my granddad to help out the family out, and there's, to our shame, there's stuff that hadn't been done that needed to be taken care of. That's why I was out digging a ditch this morning and taking care of that. And so I'm glad to hear that it's okay not to be okay, because if I'm being honest with you, I'm not okay right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, thanks for your honesty, and I'll be honest with you. Like, Colby and I have been praying for this for a while. We know you're not okay, and so we're just thankful that God's answering our prayers. I'm teasing, man. Seriously, you've got a lot going on, and I think that your perspective on today's show is going to be really good, man. So thanks for opening up with that. Colby, what do you think, man?
I think it goes against everything a man is taught.
Okay.
And it's a shame.
Absolutely.
It's a shame that that's what we're taught, that you're supposed to just suck it up and rub some dirt on it and right. whatever other sayings that are
There's
out
no
there.
There's no crying in baseball.
Right. And so we just kind of the mentality is we're big, bad, burly men and we're going to push through. Put your head down and plow through it. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be on here today telling people that forget all of that. Listen to us. It's okay.
That's right.
It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, the two emotions that we're told we can have, we can be horny and we can be angry.
Small Church Leadership Podcast, that was not Brian, okay? I have literally, since our last time we were together, been praying that God would let me be nicer on these podcasts. That wasn't me, so don't come at me with that one.
Well, that's the two emotions that
men are
have.
Supposed to have.
Yeah. We can be horny and we can be mad.
Again, that was not me.
I'm being real. That's the two things that we can have, and it's acceptable if we're vulnerable, if we're not okay, if we're upset about things, we're not allowed to have those.
Right.
And if you show any of those, you're a sissy, you're a wimp, you're whatever else they want to throw at you. And so, you know, listen, I get it. I understand. I mean, I'm that guy. I'm that big burly dude that's just going to put his head down and plow through it until I can't. And we're going to we're going to reiterate, it's okay to be not okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the big idea that we're sharing out today, man, is it's okay to not be okay. However, that's a good saying. Like first time I heard that, I heard it from another pastor who was ironically was confessing to his church that he was burnt out and he couldn't survive anymore in ministry and that he needed to step down. And he was saying that, man, you know, we've built this church around it being okay to not be okay. But I want to add a little bit more to that. It's not okay to stay not okay.
Yes.
It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. And if you need help.
That's tweetable.
That's so tweetable. Tweet it out. Yeah. Tweet it out, boo-boo. Tweet it out. Now, I want to say as we get started, man, if you've been listening to this and you really are struggling with, man, maybe thoughts of harming yourself, maybe thoughts of suicide, maybe you're just overwhelmed, I want to give you, and we're going to do this throughout the course, throughout the conversation today, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. You can call. You can talk with some counselors there. You can get some help. That number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, it's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. And so make sure that you're calling those guys, man. Don't struggle alone with that. So I want to give you a little outline of what we're going to do today. Today we're going to talk about ways to seek help as a small church pastor and as a small church leader. And again, I want to let you know, we're a bunch of small church pastors. And so that's where our context is coming. So we're talking primarily to you small church pastors out there. But we do know that there are a lot of you that listen to this show that aren't the pastor, but maybe you're on staff or maybe you're just a team member that is really cares a lot about your church. We want to offer you ways that you can find help as well. So we're going to look at ways to seek help. We're going to look at why don't pastors seek help? Oh, that's a big one, yes. Right, guys? Why don't pastors seek help? And then another one, why does it matter that we seek help? See, what we don't want to do is we don't want to give you what. We want to give you so what. What happens if you don't do this? And there are some pretty big implications. And then we're going to end up with why it matters. I'm sorry, I just said that part. We're going to end up with how does a small church leader get help? What are some practical things that you can do? But as we go through this, the one phrase that you're going to hear us say is it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. So, guys, we're talking about ways to seek help. What are some ways to seek help?
First one is canceling.
No, wait a minute. We're canceling things?
That's that southern accent. Yeah, okay. For you northern pastors out there, it's called counseling.
Counseling. Okay. Now, I think at least a couple of us in here have had to do this, but different things. I had to do it for my marriage. Mm. There was a time that my wife was away doing a camp that I couldn't go with her. She was away doing a camp. She was supposed to pick up her mom and come home. She got back from that camp to her mom's house and called and told me that she was not coming home. Her mom wasn't coming with her, so she was staying down there and she would not be coming home for another week after being away for a week and a half. And okay, that's a red flag. Why doesn't she want to come home? Mm-hmm. And it was some legitimate reasons because I wasn't the husband I needed to be.
Yeah.
And so we sought, help.
He was going to say canceling again. Yeah. We sought counseling so yes. that our marriage was
marriage canceling.
And we sought help to work through some yeah. issues. Mm-hmm. And actually our denomination sent us to a weekend to remember
yeah.
as part of that
yeah.
and really helped us yeah. out.
Counseling is definitely good, man. And there's just such a stigma behind counseling. And we often think that if I'm in counseling, that means I'm wrong. I'm doing something wrong or something's broken. We're all broken. I mean, let's just come to terms with that. Like, we're all flawed. We live in fleshly, sinful humanity. We've all got issues. But counseling isn't necessarily negative. Counseling is positive. It helps us to unravel the things that we may not necessarily be able to see and work through that.
Yeah, because we can't see it from our perspective.
Yes.
So we need somebody else's perspective yeah. to help us to see
right.
what we're missing. And that's yeah. what happened to us. I began to see how I wasn't meeting my wife's needs. And luckily for me, she went home to right. her folks to get those needs met and not the arms of somebody else,
right.
which could very well have happened.
Right.
And so thank for her integrity of doing that till I become that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's something beautiful about saying, I want to fight for this and I'm going to do whatever it takes to work through this. And, like, man, the same thing goes with ministry counseling. Like we need to make sure we're seeking counseling. Guys, I want to give another way to seek help. That's the second thing we've got on our list, and that's medication. Now, I know medication can be one of those things that can be looked down upon. Like, honestly, a lot of these things can be looked down upon. But here's the deal. If your brain is not producing chemicals that your brain was designed to produce, get some medication. Now, maybe don't run directly to medication as your first result, but man, get with a primary care physician, get with a psychiatrist, get with someone who specializes in this, who can actually take from a medical doctor's perspective and diagnose you and help you if you need medication. Listen, I take medication. We were just joking around earlier before we got started today. I accidentally, for the past little while, have been taking the wrong medication and wondering why I'm so grumpy. I'm grumpy because I'm taking the wrong dang medication. So, like, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, and you don't have to share it with everybody like I just did on this podcast. But, I mean, I'm trying to be open so you can be like, man, if Brian, as awesome as he is, can humble himself and take medication, then maybe I can. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. Gobi, you want to share anything with that?
Yeah. So the next one would be support groups. Getting into a support group of some kind that can help you out. There's all kinds out there that can help steer you in the right direction. I will tell you, you got to be careful with the support group that you go to. So when I was a young airman early in my career, I was ultra competitive to the point where I
was. He said he was competitive. You're the most competitive person I know.
No, I'm not.
See?
Oh, so I am mildly competitive, and I was ultra competitive, like to the point where I was.
I can't even imagine if
we did
being more competitive.
We did a scavenger hunt at a Christmas party for my squadron, and I tackled the first sergeant's wife. So that I could get the only thing that was in the room that I needed to win. I tackled her. So I ended up, I went to, anger management.
Okay.
I went to anger management, right? I went to one session and it made me so mad I didn't go back. Because it was nothing but a whining session. So you really got to be careful of the support group that you go to. It was supposed to have been a group to help you deal with anger stuff and the ultra competitive nature that I was. Cause if I didn't win, I was mad and I was flat. I was angry if I didn't win. And so, my first sergeant said, hey, listen, I think you should go to this. And I went to it and I appeased him. I think I just went to it just to appease him, but I went in there and all these people were whining and crying about things. And I'm like, you know what? This is a waste of my time. I'm not coming back. So they called me up and said, why aren't you coming back? I was like, cause you guys irritated me. It was just a waste of my time. And they said, well, that means you need to be here. And I was like, nah, it's not mandatory. I won't be back. And so I didn't go back. So you got to be careful with the support group that you go to. You can go to just a wine session all you want, but if that's all you're looking for.
And probably give them more than one session before you make your mind up, though.
Yeah.
Like give them at least three tries to make sure that you're not just going in there.
I was busy.
I get what it is. It's hard to climb down off your high horse to go to one of those sessions. I understand that.
I just didn't need, I was in there with.
You were doing better than all of those in there anyway, so you already beat that group.
I already defeated that one, right, so I didn't need to. I got fixed faster than all of them.
Being in a group that you realize you're not the only one struggling with this.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you need to get in a group with, realize you're not the only one struggling with it. There's other people out there struggling with it, and hear success stories that there's other people who's got past it.
Yeah, I think that's key, man, because one of the things that the devil tries to do is make us think we're the only ones.
You're alone, and
if he can isolate us, man. It's like you see those nature documentaries of the lion who's chasing after the pack of impalas or whatever it is he's chasing, the antelope, and they try to find the oldest, the slowest, the weakest, isolate them.
That would be Joey.
Yeah, I wonder why everybody's looking at me.
Significantly older than everybody else.
So.
And, like, that's what the devil tries to do. I mean, 1 Peter, right, says he walks around like a roaring lion seeking to devour, and I think that's 1 Peter. It's somewhere. And, like, I think that that's one of the strategies of the enemy is to make you feel like you're the only one dealing with this. And if you open up and share, then people are going to be like, oh, I can't believe that. Because we said in the last episode, to be a Christian and depressed is an oxymoron.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Well, okay, well, you're just a moron. At least I got an oxy in front of it. So anyway, man, yeah, the support groups, finding people that you struggle with are really, really good.
I screwed up. I shouldn't have jumped ahead of the medication so quickly. So, because I wanted to hit up. We've talked about this before. You know, you take medication and people won't, because, you know, they look at it and they say, oh, you shouldn't be taking that, but they're taking insulin, they're taking high blood pressure. They're taking, you know, all these other things.
Essential oils.
They're taking. those work.
We're not talking about bacon grease.
Oh, never mind then.
We're talking about WD-40.
So you know, there is that stigma on the medication, but yet the person that is going to judge you for taking antidepressant medication is on 17 different pills of their own for different things, and that's just one of the. So don't let Billy Bob's pharmacy tell you not to take this antidepressant medication because they think you just don't have enough faith in God.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You don't have to tell anybody.
It's none of their business.
It's none of their business. Absolutely none of their business.
I shouldn't have jumped so fast.
Oh, you're good.
I just wanted my part right.
Ultra competitive. Well, so let's lean into the number four on the list here, peer relationships. Now, they're kind of like support groups. But I think that peer relationships are even more better.
More better, yep.
They're the more betters. Like what we have, the three of us, we're in a peer relationship community that's greater than support groups. So I've shared with you guys my mental struggles and the things that I got going on. And this is a safe place. Mm-hmm. And like we have the rule, the Vegas rule, that what happens here stays here. And so, man, find some peer relationships. Find some people that you can pour yourself into, because I just said you don't have to tell people that you're taking medication, and you don't, but we're created for relationship. So also it's important that you find a handful of people that you can be just gut level open and honest with, who you can be yourself and not have to be Pastor so-and-so or Deacon so-and-so or whatever. You can just be you.
So how long have we been in a peer relationship now?
Joey, you and I have been in a peer relationship now almost 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
So 8 years from, that's,
2014-ish, somewhere around there, 2013,
14. So for 20 years, I looked for somebody like this and never really found it until I found the right one that I could share with.
Is he saying I'm the one?
That's sweet. That is sweet.
And
we need sound effects on this podcast.
It was the reason it was because you took the risk to be vulnerable.
Man, I'll never forget that day. Like we're having Mexican food at a local Mexican restaurant, and like, for probably 3 weeks, I'd been really like struggling. Well, not 3 weeks. I've been struggling for something my entire life. But for like 3 weeks, I'm like, I need to just be honest and open up and share with Joey and get accountability. And like, but I don't know him very well. But like, I felt like the Lord's like, either you're going to keep running from accountability or you're going to be open and vulnerable. And I'll never forget that day. I'm like sweating and nervous, but I'm like, hey, man, I'm struggling with some stuff and I need some help. And like, I believe that that's the day that we really, we moved from being friends to being brothers.
Yes. And then that allowed me the next time to come back and be vulnerable. It took me a week.
Now, Joey, he listens to me confessing my sins and he's like not saying anything. And then the next week we go back and he's like, man, you said some stuff last week and I just want to tell you something. And he's like, awkward in his body language, and I'm going, he's about to nail me to the wall, man. Like, I knew I shouldn't have confessed anything to this guy. That's the wrong guy. And then he's like, man, you shared that, and God's been really convicting me. I need to share some stuff with you. And this is what he said. So do you guys have your pen and paper?
See, that's what makes this peer, this is what makes this peer relationship work so well, is we all have the nuclear option.
That's right.
We could drop a bomb on the other's church if somebody drops a bomb on my church. So we've got a lot of blackmail material.
It's the dead man switch. Yeah. Right? Like that's what we got going on. So peer relationships are, man, I cannot encourage them enough.
We gather, 6 months before that vulnerability happened?
Yeah, every week we were just hanging out and eating. And
so find, start looking, start getting together with those people, and don't let that first week.
Don't let the first week. No. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't
let the
don't
first
Don't drop
week,
it then.
Yeah. Find out who the Lord might be leading you to be vulnerable, but find that.
Right.
Search it out.
And that's even how this podcast came about. Like, you and I had that relationship, and then I go to Financial Peace University because I'm terrible with my finances, and I meet Colby. His church is offering FPU, and there's probably like week four. FPU's like 9-10 weeks, something like that. Like week four or five, I forgot my book. And so he goes to copy the book for me so I can have the notes to take. And there's like 10 sheets of this copy. And so I'm watching Dave Ramsey talk and I'm going through the sheets, and on like the fourth sheet, this fool has put his face up on the copier. So his face is smushed up and he copied his freaking face, and we're supposed to be like super quiet. And I've known him a month, And we get to that page, and April's beside me, my wife, and she's like cracking up. And I'm like, what in the heck? I knew then, like, this guy's going to be cool. We had a couple of meetings. We ate, because if we're meeting, we're eating.
Uh-huh. That's it.
And like, after probably a year of that, I was like, I got to find a way to get all three of us together because we're cut from the same cloth. And y'all, man, I wouldn't make it without the two of you guys. Like, I look forward to Small Church Leadership podcasts and other stuff. Like, yeah. I love that. And so peer relationships are huge. There's one more way that you can seek help, at least that we're going to talk about today, and that's with your primary care physician. Do you hear how I said physician?
Physician.
Yesterday at church, we're talking about building the kingdom, and I said building, and I'm like, whoo, Lord have mercy. Y'all hear that Carolina coming out? I know. That's like we're canceling. So your primary care physician, it's important that we, especially as we age or get significantly older, that we have a regular primary care physician, that someone that can look and go, man, have you considered changing? I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm looking straight ahead. Have you considered changing your diet? And listen, if you have a doctor that would say something like that to you, you need to run. That is that is heresy. That doctor is clearly – no, I'm just joking. But really, your primary care physician is someone who can offer help. And if they can't necessarily counsel you, what they can do is they can refer you to other psychiatrists, psychologists, other people that are in the field that are qualified to handle that. So, man, guys, why don't we move on here and talk about this real big question here. Why don't pastors seek help?
Well, we talked about a couple of them last week, and one is embarrassment. Mm-hmm. What is it people going to say? What is people going to think? Mm-hmm. And so we don't move. I think we covered that last week, and that don't let that stand in your way.
And I know people can't change their personality to be similar to mine or whatever, but who cares? Who cares what people think about you?
I do. I mean, I care.
You need help. This is for the one that is out there going, yeah, they're right. It's an embarrassment that if I go to my church and tell my elders that, or my deacons that I have to go get help, it's embarrassing. Who cares what they think? Yeah. Right now, you need to take care of you. Because you're not going to be able to continue doing the ministry if you don't get it taken care of.
Oh, man.
And I would say if you don't have to go to your deacons.
Don't go.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them.
It's none of their business.
Right, but yeah.
Like, it's none of their business.
It was like the movie Saving Private Ryan. If you haven't seen Saving Private Ryan, just shut this podcast off right now and go watch Saving Private Ryan. But there's this one particular part in the movie where Tom Hanks, who's like the person in charge of this particular group of soldiers, they're walking and all of them are complaining, and they're like, Sarge, or whatever his rank is, I forget, but they're like, you know, guy in charge, you never complain. Why do you never complain? And he says, complaints go up. You complain to me, I complain to my supervisor, they complain to their supervisor, complaints go up. And I think that that's something great. Like, for starters, we should always complain up. Anything you complain about with somebody else in your church, somebody else in your church is going to hear about it. So complaints go up. But also, when it comes to this thing's a medication, mental health, stuff going on with your marriage, complain that up. Send that up. If you've got a superintendent or a bishop or a pastor that's over you, share that with that person. Don't share it with your deacons if you don't have to, or your elders or any of that. Like, negatory. So, yeah, there is an embarrassment. There's that stigma that goes along with it.
Yeah.
This is one that's Colby's favorite one. He does this all the time.
Yes.
He can be super spiritual.
The super saved people. I love those. Yeah.
Those are the people where you're like, are you hungry? I'm hungry for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. The super saved ones are the ones that are like, you know, I can't. I have to just focus more on Christ. Yeah, you do. But you still need to go get help.
Well, all you need to do, brother, is pray more. You can do all things through Scripture taken out of context.
You sure can. You sure can. And you're right. You need to pray more, but you still need to go get help.
Yes.
And you need to seek godly counsel. You're right, but you still need to go get help. And you need, I mean, we can go on and on and on, but you still need to go get help.
Yeah, we create a false dichotomy.
Well,
either this or that. Both of them.
Yeah, I love Nehemiah in the Bible.
Yeah, there we go.
When Nehemiah was confronted, hey, these people are going to come and kill you. He said he did two things. He prayed to his God, and he posted a guard.
Yeah.
He done what he needed to do spiritually.
There we go.
And he did what he needed to do physically.
That's right.
To protect the thing.
That's right.
It's not either or. It's both.
It's right. And I love the thing about Nehemiah. Nehemiah's a great book when it comes to leadership. I love, too, that he stationed them by their houses.
Yes.
He stationed them where they're rebuilding the gates and rebuilding the wall and where they're going to be fighting if somebody comes. They're stationed by their houses, and he gives this Braveheart speech. Fight for your wives and for your daughters and for your sons and for your families. Like, that's why we're doing this podcast. Yes. Like, I love you used to call your men's group the Fight Club.
The Fight Club.
You got to fight.
And Nehemiah 4:14 is like, the verse for that.
Man. Yeah. Like,
it's actually posted above the urinal in the men's room.
I know. I keep aiming for it. But anyway. I was doing so good.
You were doing so good.
I was doing so good. All right. So, yeah, people can be super spiritual. Don't be that way. Don't be super spiritual. Listen, it's not this and that. It's not this or that. It's this and that.
And as a small church leader, if somebody comes to you with these depression and anxiety problems, don't be that super spiritual person.
Oh, man.
Yes, lead them in prayer. Yes, pray for them. But tell them to go get the help mm-hmm. that they need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, these are just ultimately what I think we're saying today is a lot of the help are just vehicles that God uses to bring
right.
wholeness. Yeah. Now, we know that the gospel brings ultimate full wholeness, and we're never going to be fully out of mental health issues or emotional health issues or literal physical health issues until we get to eternity. And so what we're not saying is counseling or medication takes the place of the gospel, but what we are saying is that helps us to be in a better natural place. Like, let's be as non-spiritual as we can be. If someone came into our churches this coming Sunday and they had no clothes on, we wouldn't tell them they just need to pray more. We would tell them, pray to Jesus while you're putting some clothes on, baby.
Yeah, let's go get you some clothes.
Because there are some things, my youth pastor used to say it this way, if we get the natural in order, the supernatural will flow.
Yeah.
And, like, this is one of those things, man. Medication, counseling, support groups, these things are ways that we can help get the natural in order.
And as people are, they're more open to the Bible if you fed them.
Yeah.
If they're hungry.
Yeah. Right.
They don't
yeah.
care
what
about
is, there's that,
yeah,
that,
the gospel.
Yeah.
I had it before I tried to say it, and then it left me. That significantly people, older.
That old, that age,
yeah, that's, yeah, that's what it is. We're going to get you back to the home soon, Pawpaw. It's, I think it's people can't hear the gospel over a rumbling stomach or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another one I think is pretty big. Limited resources.
Especially for small church.
Small church pastor.
Yes.
Counseling costs money.
Okay. Like, I wasn't sure where we were heading with this because in today's day and age with technology, the resources are limited.
Yeah.
But when you're talking
yeah.
about the
finances,
cost.
The cost yeah, of it, yeah, that's one yeah. thing.
And I notice this with a lot of the significantly older generation where they won't go to the doctor because it's going to cost them a $10 copay.
Yeah.
And so it is that is an issue. To some degree.
Right.
And so, it, you know, you do have to deal with that. Because I've got, my parents live with me and,
right.
you know, they won't go to the doctor when they absolutely have to because of that copay or, you know, that maybe it's an $80 because it's a specialist mm-hmm. or whatever. So the limited resources, I was wondering, yeah. you can, the resources are there. I mean, I could hit yeah. the Safari button and I could find you, you know, 30 Christian counselors within a, you know, 10 miles from here.
Keep in mind where we live too.
Yeah. That's another yeah. part
so,
of it.
So some of these that are listening may not live near a big
right.
city.
But we are international. Right. So
we are international.
yeah,
so. We're multinational
yes.
as well.
Oh, wow.
Like
yes.
we're not
so,
just Canada.
So there's some may be out there that
yeah.
you're right.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
don't they
well,
don't
you know,
have
where
the
we live in the Tidewater area here. There's
yeah.
resources
yeah.
because of the things around us. There's resources.
Right.
There's maybe some that's not, and it's limited, and it might be a drive to get the resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I would encourage you to do there is what Paul encouraged the Corinthians to do in terms of the collection, the history behind it. The churches in Jerusalem were going through a famine. Paul's encouraging his Gentile churches to save up money for the collection. You read about it in several letters, and they're going to take the collection for famine relief to the church in Jerusalem. But particularly, he says to the Corinthians, hey, on the first of every week, set aside some money so that when I get there, you're not scrambling trying to figure it out. So start saving up money for the thing that we're going to ask you to do. And so if you have limited resources, potentially start saving up some money for that one opportunity. And if you have to cut $5 out of a check or $10 out of this, or if you need to go, like Dave Ramsey would say,
sell everything,
sell so much stuff that the kids think they're next. Also, if your limited resources are you have to drive an hour or so away, plan a bunch of stuff on that day. So that day I'm going to drive over to the big city and I'm going to have a meeting with my counselor and I'm going to reward myself because I know there's no Starbucks in my podunk town. I'm going to get some Starbucks or something. Yeah. Like just... limited resources are a reality, but they shouldn't be a reality that paralyzes you. Work around it. Find a way to make something happen. And then the last one is just plain old prideful stubbornness. Like sometimes we just, I can fix it. Me and Jesus. Yeah. Get over that, man. Get over that. We've got to listen. The Bible says that God does what to the proud? Stiff arms them. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes, we know. Jesus. We know you have to build that church. We know that you've got to get people in. We know you got to have Sunday service. You've got to preach the golden message that has ever been preached, right? But you still need to get help.
Yes, absolutely. So why does it matter that we seek help? This is the big question. This is the what if. If I don't seek help, what's going to happen?
And I think way back in our Healthy Pastor series, our very first series that we did on podcast, Joey said this first one.
Either you make time for your wellness or you're forced to take time for your illness. There's a book, Choosing to Cheat, and it says that you can't do everything that needs to be done in a day. So you're going to cheat something. And if you cheat your spouse, then you might have to take time for your spouse when you're going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. If you cheat your children, you may have to take time for your children to deal with a drug problem. And so choose to cheat well. And if you cheat yourself, then when you break down, you have to take time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're either going to make time for your wellness or be forced to take time for your illness. Like, this is a thing that it's going to come up, and we've got to make sure that we're dealing with it when it comes up. And so, like, I would much rather stand before my congregation and say, I have some mental health needs that I'm going to a counselor or a counselor. I'm doing these things, as opposed to saying, I didn't fix this, and as a result, I had an extramarital affair.
Yes.
I can't imagine looking my children in their eyes and saying, Dad blew it. And because Dad blew it, your life is now going to be forever impacted because of that. And this isn't fear-mongering. I'm not like, oh, you should look at how bad you're just going to turn into Satan himself if you don't get help and counseling. But we have a real-life enemy who is attacking those of us that are leading and trying to help people get on the plan and on the pathway of the Lord. So that's one thing, man. Another thing I think that is very serious alongside of that is breakdown and burnout.
Yes.
Like, if we don't deal with this stuff, we're going to break down.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys, everybody needs a pit stop from now here and then. And then we need to be, man, sometimes just taken all the way into the garage and given an overhaul.
And let's step on some toes. When you take that pit stop, you have to go off the grid. Turn off your devices. Do not disturb.
You see what he's doing right
stop,
now?
Yes. Do you
see what
he's stop doing answering right now? Text messages. Stop answering.
I feel personally attacked right now.
Wow.
This is the relationship. This is the peer relationship discussion that we can have.
Wow.
Because you have to. If you don't, it's not a break. You're just not going to the office. And so, it has to be done. And I'm talking about myself too. I'm supposed to be on a sabbatical in June, and I canceled it because I've convinced myself I'm in a good headspace. And I am. I mean, I just, things are going well. And why? Because I took a week vacation where I went completely off the grid. The people from the church had contacted me and I didn't respond. It was glorious. Absolutely glorious.
But not because you don't like the people at the church.
No, it's just because I was on vacation and I treated it like a true vacation.
I don't think people know how busy pastors are.
They don't. They think, and there's a joke, and I quit saying this. I used to say it when I first became a pastor until I realized that people were believing me that we work one day a week. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, even on our day off, I mean, I try hard not to answer texts and emails and phone calls on my day off, but I'm still thinking about I got the Sunday service. So my day off is Friday. I'm thinking about, okay, on Sunday, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of this. I take care of this. May not be doing work, but I'm thinking about work. And even, 2 o'clock in the morning, you got somebody that you know is sick, and you're checking your phone if you wake up. You're just checking to see if somebody had called. And so the church is always on our mind. And if we're going to take that break, it's not because we hate our church. It's because we got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. Man, this is good stuff. Here's a question I have for you. How does a small church leader get help?
Resources. Local resources. I mean, the pastors usually have a list of Christian counselors that they will send to, mm-hmm. you know, a family comes in, they need family counseling, or a couple comes in, they need couples counseling or something like that, that is above our pay grade, above our abilities. And so, you know, if as a pastor, you don't use those, you've got them
yeah.
probably in your top desk drawer, yeah. your laptop.
There are resources.
Just use them.
And if you don't have that, here's one great way you can do it. Google.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, you got the technology. Go ahead and Google it.
Use the technology.
Use the technology there.
Now, what you don't want to do, and this is for the church leader, is don't. Yes, talk to your pastor. Okay, if you're not the pastor, talk to your pastor, but don't use your pastor as your free counseling. So many people out there do that. They use their pastor. I tell my folks, I am not a counselor. We talked about it last week. We had one class, a 6-week class on, on counseling. I had an 8-week course, in the Air Force on how to be a leader in the Air Force. And it was counseling was a big part of that. So I've got probably a little more than just the Bible version of counseling, although I can't scream and yell like they do in the military, but
I mean, you can,
I can, but it just doesn't do any good, but don't use your pastor as your free counseling. And so many people do that.
Yeah.
And since I'm not a counselor, I don't offer it.
How about the person above you? We're talking about.
That's good. Up. That's good.
Whoever's above you, whatever your structure is. And some people go, I don't want to go to them because I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
Do you have a friend in another denomination?
Right.
That you can go to and go, hey, can your bishop, can your leadership help me find?
Yes. Yeah. And that's one thing, man, like. It's popular amongst a lot of groups to be part of something that's non-denominational, and I get it, man. I totally get it. But also, there are great benefits to being part of a denomination where you have a network of people that you're connected with that can be a resource that can pour into you. Now, maybe you're out there and you're a small church leader and you don't have that, man. Here's a good resource that you can reach out to. You can go to Facebook. You can go in the search bar and type in small church leadership. You can find us. Send us a message. We'd love to be able to help find you some resources and get you pointed in the right way. Or if you're out there and you really are feeling like you're at your wit's end and you're feeling like this is a struggle that you're having, you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. So, guys, there's one final thing, right, Joey? What is it you want to share?
Don't forget about your primary care physician.
Yeah.
They have resources.
Absolutely. I think that's if you don't know where to even begin, go see your regular doctor.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Help me. Like, dude, my primary care physician is like trying to force feed me their counselors on staff. And I'm like, I got my own counselor, bro. Like, but I mean, he cares about me enough that he wants to make sure that I'm getting the help that I need. Yes. And so that's a good place to go there.
And if you can't remember the suicide line, and you don't have time, you know, you're really feeling it and you can't Google it, remember these three numbers, 911.
Yes, absolutely.
You call them, because they do care enough as well. They'll come to you and help you out and get you the assistance you need.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's absolutely, if you can't remember
that. I won't remember that 800 number.
Yeah, but I don't remember it either. Literally, I'm looking at my computer. I Googled suicide hotline.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes things can get so hot that you can't get that, but call 911. Absolutely. And so, guys, we're kind of at the end of our podcast time here. And what we really want you to know as small church leadership, if you've listened this far, you know we're doing longer episodes and stuff like that. Like, we don't want to just give you content that you can, like, listen to while you're at the gym and that be it. Like, we pray for you. We want to be in a position where we're a peer relationship to you, where we're guys that are in the trenches along with you and encourage you, man. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. We want you to get help. The truth is this. The majority, overwhelming majority of churches in the world are small churches. So either God doesn't want churches to be big, or God trusts you and me to be on the front lines of reaching people for Jesus and discipleship. You see that?
For the long term.
For the long term. Like, if God is sovereign and if God is in control, he's chosen for like 3% of the church to be over 500 people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whatever that number is, like, you can Google the stats and find out whatever the latest number is for yourself. But like, if God's in control, God's design is for the small local congregation to be not a place where it's like, oh, I wish my church could be bigger, but a place where authentic, life-giving, meaningful relationships can take place. Now, not a dig against the big church. We love the big church. Every one of us work our tails off every week so we can try to become a big church. Like, that's not a dig against that. What I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to remind you, small church leader, is you are where God placed you, and we want you there for the long haul.
Yes.
Get some help, man. You've got, your ministry is so, there's so much more that God wants to do in your ministry and your life. Get some help.
What did we say a couple weeks ago? Small church pastor is not a penalty. It's a specialty.
It's a specialty. Come on, man. Yeah, God, I want to run around the room right now thinking about that. Whew.
Yeah. So we're called for this, and we just need to be prepared for it. Yeah. And be honest with yourself. Are you struggling right now?
Yeah, ministry sucks, man.
It does.
Ministry sucks.
It is a very difficult thing, especially for families.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, speaking of that, thank you for bringing that up. Talk to your spouse today after you've listened to this and ask your spouse, what do you see in me? Do you think I need some help? And then ask your spouse, what about you? How is this affecting you mentally? How is this affecting you emotionally? How can we get you the help you need? Because there are a lot of spouses that suffer in silence because they feel like they can't say anything because
you'll lose your job.
Us as the fixers will lose our jobs, yeah. One thing, or we'll tell them why they're wrong and why they need to stay in their lane, yeah. Or we just are defensive.
Yeah.
And that's me. Like, I'm looking in the mirror right now. You just don't see it the right way. And God's calling. Listen, I learned a long time ago, God will call he, but he will rarely call he without she.
Right.
And so, well, I don't permit a woman to take. Stop. Stop. Okay.
Like, super save.
Super save. Like, if you're married, God's called your wife to be a part of what you're doing as well. Okay. And in some respect, and that respect may mean to be your prayer covering. Like, she's involved in it as well.
So, do I need help? Do you need help? Do we need help? Those are the three questions that you should be talking to your spouse.
That's so good.
Do I need help? Do you need help? Do we need help?
Like, we've been toying around with the idea of bringing our spouses on, but I'm scared of what they might say to all these people, to the tens of people that are listening. Guys, thanks for being with us today. Is there anything else that you want to share with our crowd today?
I would say that you go to where you get your podcast. I'm actually getting to say this one because Joey said no. go wherever you get your podcast.
Give us a rating.
Give us a
significantly older rating.
Yeah, give us a rating. Yeah, you may think we're a two or a three, but we think we're a five. We're pretty confident in a five. Mm. I mean, I'll go out there and I'll give us a five. I'll log on a different email accounts.
I've created 1,000 emails.
Just so
accounts.
I can increase our stats. But give us a rating. We do appreciate any rating you give us, but we appreciate more when you give us a five.
And you can always find us on your social media platform, Facebook. Joey's going to tell us how to do that.
Go to Facebook.com.
I wish y'all could see his face right now.
Backslash.
Nobody slashes. Only older people slash. Okay.
Small church leadership.
No, just go to the search bar and type in small church leadership. That's all you got to do. You'll find
search
us.
Bar.
That's hashtag.
We'll explain
Joey.
It later. We're hashtagging right now. We'll explain it later. So, guys, we love you. We really appreciate you. We've got at least one more of these episodes we're going to talk about with mental health and with what that looks like for the small church leader. Although I accidentally deleted it earlier, so we got to figure out what that topic was.
I remember.
Y'all pray for me as we're part of this. Guys, we love you. We've been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. We love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I am Colby.
And we'll see you later. Bye, guys.